Luke chapter 20, as we gather more evidence, identifying the mother, doctrinal evidence, phenomenal chapter. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Notice the religious leaders operating for the mother, and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things, and who is he that gave thee this authority? I remind you again, the issue in heaven and earth is authority. The only authority on the planet today is the written word of God. And in the English language, that's the authorized King James Bible. That is what is so hated and despised by Satan, is that book, because it's the written authority. Verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Yeah, he's so great. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen, Israel, saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. I remind you, the nation of Israel killed the Lord Jesus Christ to seize upon his inheritance as being the Son of God. They did it because of the reasons of wealth and money. You see that? That's what they did it for. Okay, verse 15. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid! And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. Look what the religious leaders are doing. Religious leaders of the mother, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Well, they got that much, and they were right. And they watched him. Remember, they watched him. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Psalm 37, 32. Now look carefully at verse 20. And they watched him and sent forth spies. Now, I'm talking just to the believers in our fellowship online. Mark it down. All of you have eyes, pay attention, and watch. Look for words out of people's mouths. Compare their words to scriptures. And it's not a place of paranoia or nothing. But remember, I've already purged. Three people have been purged today. Okay? Sooner or later, they'll all surface. So, just pay attention. This can happen. Okay, look at verse 20. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. Okay? Satan's system, through the mother, will operate to send spies into your lives as believers, and they're going to pretend to be, they're going to fake you out, they're going to feign themselves just men. They're going to say they're saved. Adjustment, justified people. They're going to say they're saved. That's why when you know this book, you can tell if someone truly is justified in the eyes of God Almighty. You listen to the words out of their mouth, and you take those words and compare them to Holy Scriptures alone. That's how you catch them. It has happened several times. Several times to mine own self, and it will happen to you, the brethren. That they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. Notice what it's going to be. People are going to amalgamate themselves among you. Remember, Judas, one of the 12, okay? And they're going to want to become part of the fellowship. But the purpose is, they're trying to fool you, to try to catch you in your words, to get you all tangled up in the governmental structure that's run by the mother as well. Remember, we have seen that the mother mixes false religion with the governments of earth. Verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Right there is the key word how you can identify the mother's minions, one of her little harlots, some of her abominations, is because they do not recognize him as the Lord. They do not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ for what he was, indeed, the Lord, the Christ of Israel. You see, they say Master. You see that? Master. So right off the bat, they're not going to approach you correctly. They're going to come at you with a feigned, flattering something. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. You see how it starts just like Satan in the garden. Yea, hath God said. It starts off positive. So they're trying to flatter him and compliment him. Verse 22, here comes where they try to trick him. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness. And remember, Corinthians, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. A quote from Job. All right? And you, as you start to get established in the faith, some of the brethren, you notice how the life in our fellowship is really stirring things up. You see, the life of Jesus Christ, it's really, you're seeing everybody get stirred up by the doctrine. And you're going to have, people are going to try to attack you. There is no reason at all why online we can't have a real Bible-believing fellowship of real believers who are real members of the church, the body of Christ, and can function accordingly as best we can with those tools at our hands, because since we're located all over the planet. Okay? So watch this now closely. Verse 23, but he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Did I start my clock? Yeah. Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. You see, when truth comes out, it'll shut them up. And when people get shut up, you know, just like when you deal with brethren, as I dealt with a brother, simple conversation, he just plain doesn't even answer. And then, of course, he just goes off into wicked carnality. You see that? They will hold their peace, they can't answer you, but then they're going to try and plot against you. Verse 27, then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Notice they're quoting the scriptures. There were therefore 7 brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the 7 also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For 7 had her to wife. Now, excuse me. Mark it down. You mark it down. The mother's going to use her minions to come after you in this false religious system to use the scripture, and they're going to try to find a loophole in the scripture. And they're going to try and give you some earthly, foolish explanation to try to deny the truth of the verse. Okay? All you have to do is what James says, the book of James, be swift to hear and slow to speak. As you listen and compare their words to scriptures, God Almighty will always show you the answer. But that's why you got to always be reading and taking this in. Remember, it's the sword of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, it is His sword, and He will wield it perfectly. Because, listen, I heard a preacher once online say this, and I only found him online. This was like 2 years ago. Me and Pam found him, and then I can't find him again. He was an Oriental man. And what he wrote about the doctrine of separation was phenomenal. He got bumped off the internet, too. He's probably pretty good. And he said, and I quote him, I don't even know his name. He said, this is, for all you believers, he said, this is not a playground. It is a battleground. And the way he said it, He meant it. And I say to you, this is war. I don't know what you think the life of a believer is like, but you're right smack dab in between Satan's world and God Almighty and his book. And it's battle. So you need to know the book. So pay attention. Do your reading. Do not ever, ever not read your Bible. That's certain doom. You can forget it. You can hang it up. I could teach you 12 hours a day. If you don't do the reading your own self, you're not going to get it. Do you understand? I'm teaching you, expecting you to do what God tells you to do. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You should be doing your own reading. Okay, look at verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Isn't he great? Verse 39, then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. They didn't even dare ask him a question. No way. You know, I noticed something. The only ones who do ask me questions are the ones who are interested in learning truth. And that reminds me, when it comes to questions, because I mentioned something in our fellowship today, the difference between an unlearned question and a learned question. If you're reading your Bible and you come across something that you just read and learned, ask the question. But if you have never read the scriptures there, don't be asking me no question about something you've never read at all. Something you just heard that you don't understand because of preconceived ideas pumped into your brain. All right? I'm commanded to redeem the time. As it is, you know, I do this 18 hours a day between work and ministry, and I want to redeem the time as more valuable as possible. So if you read the scriptures and come across something you don't understand, then ask. Okay, I'd be more than happy to answer you because I'm commanded to avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strifes. So unlearned questions, if you've never read it yourself, you don't even know what you're asking. Okay, try reading your Bible first. You know, the more you read, the more you listen, the less questions you will have. I'm telling you. Just keep reading. The questions go away. All right. Now I'll answer your question if you just read something you don't understand. All right. Verse 40. And after that they durst not ask him any question at all. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, do you understand what it's saying here? In the audience of all of the people, that means the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're all there. And then so are his disciples, and he just calls them out right in front of everybody. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the market. So here's the description of the mother's preachers. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats of the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. A direct reference to what Roman Catholic priests do by praying for a widow's dead husband. You see, he's dead. And they say, buy these mass cards and indulgences and we'll pray for his soul out of purgatory. Sign your house over to us. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 1. We're coming up to some great sections here. Verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. You see that? How can we kill him? We fear the people. We can't do it. They got to kill him. They got to get rid of him. Now watch verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan doesn't even leave this work unto any of his lower level princes of demons or any of his demons. He himself personally enters into Judas. Now, you better believe it. Satan is going to use Judas again when he raises him up to be the Antichrist. All right? Because Judas is the Antichrist. He's the son of perdition. The scriptures tell you who the Antichrist is. You got it? Only ignorant fools don't know who the Antichrist is. All right. Verse 4. And he went, but I wouldn't know Judas Iscariot if I saw him at Walmart. So I wouldn't know him. All right? That's the key. But you'll know him when he's in that temple. Verse 4. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Judas the betrayer, used by Satan. Oh well, there you go. Remember it. All right, chapter 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Notice, you got to get this down. The mother's false religious system mixed together. They got their own little thing going on and they mix with the government. You see that? They want to get the government involved in killing the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing will happen today. The mother will use all of you brethren out there who are in our fellowship and who are growing. You know all the faithful ones I'm talking to. As Christ starts to live through your flesh, I'm telling you ahead of time. That's why get established in the faith. Get going. Take this serious. Quit messing around with all the other stupid things you're doing. Okay, like a man who used to be in our fellowship told me today, well, he doesn't want to be in the fellowship no, because he's going to continue his theology degree. His theology degree. Let me see if I can find this verse. Anyways, his theology degree, huh? Yeah, okay. And he's rejected. Go to Psalm 62. Thank you, Lord. Look at this, Psalm 62. You know, all you out there who think you got to get a degree in theology and a degree in going to Bible college, let me show you what God says about your degrees. Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely, Psalm 62, 9. Surely, men of low degree are vanity. Oh, what's the lowest degree you can get? Your associate's. Now, I'm not talking about y'all going to college to get some trade or profession or some job. I'm talking about people getting their degrees, okay, for reasons of Scripture. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Oh, I have my bachelor's. Okay. And men of high degree are a lie. Oh, I got my PhD in theology. To be laid in the balance, that's both the low degree and the high degree and every degree in between. Okay. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Lighter than vanity. See that? Vanity is less than nothing, the scripture describes in the book. So if you're vanity and you're vain, you're less than nothing. If you any type of degree you get in the study of this book that's conferred upon you by men, you see, they live for the approval of their peers. It's nothing. It's total waste of time. That fool says, well, I'm going to go study for my theology, and he rejects the counsel of God. What a fool. Well, you get what you deserve. Okay, so Luke chapter 23, verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. The nation was so perverted when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, you know, totally destroyed spiritually, perverting the nation and forbidding. Notice the mixture. Perverting the nation is in the religious aspect, but they got to mix it with government or Pilate will have no jurisdiction. And forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. Notice, he's messing our nation up with doctrine and he's not wanting to pay his taxes. The mother operates the same way today, to get you mixed up. That's why this mother reigns over the kings of the earth. It's not just religion. That's why 1 John says, look at how 1 John ends there. Would you look at 1 John? This is 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Got it? The whole world lieth in wickedness. All right, there you go. A phenomenal thing. Now we're going to really switch gears and go to John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. It's a totally different type of gospel presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we're going to show you some different things regarding the mother here. John chapter 3, look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now at least he had the guts enough to came up to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now he's half right. Isaiah says when these things start to happen, you'll know that God's in your midst. It was a prophecy, so he gets it. It's not that God be with him, it's just that he's here. So he missed it by half, but anyways, not bad. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A great trick of the mother. I'm not going to waste too much time on the doctrine. But Gentiles today are not born again. Look at the video here. Gentiles are not born again here in the YouTube archives. You're not born again. You're regenerated. He's talking to a Jew who was already born in the flesh as God's people. But look at the point here what the mother's doing. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now watch this. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Now watch the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Nicodemus isn't really that bad of a guy, but still watch the response. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? The mother's system, which Nicodemus was infected with, I'm not saying completely gone. He came there. He's doing pretty good. Still, though, the mother's system, it's a perfect illustration that Nicodemus has got one foot in the mother's system and one foot wanting to understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. You need to sell out completely for the Lord. You need to completely, 100%, go with this book. Nothing and no one else. Period. Or you're never going to get it. You're never, ever going to get it. All right. Take it for what it's worth. All right. Now, let's go to, I want to show you something here too I just thought of. Go to John chapter 2. Go to John chapter 2 and look at verse 18. It reminds me. Look at that. I just was kind of glancing at. John chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now that's important there, because that is one of the charges that was brought against him at his stupid lying trial that they put him on, those lying religious leaders. Okay, he was talking about his body. They missed the boat. All right, John chapter 5, look at verse 17. John chapter 5, look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You get this? Now watch this, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, a great trick of the mother. I'm just talking to believers now. All you heretics out there who are unbelievers who think you are saved, go take a little potty break. Go somewhere else, okay, and go do something profitable. All right, listen to me for the real believers. There's a video I have here in the archives that's called Being Equal with God. A lot of you do not understand what that means. In Philippians, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That mind is to be in you. And what it means by being equal with God, you'll see, here's the definition. If you claim God as your Father, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your faith is in His blood, fully persuaded, all right? You're a believer, you're a child of God, God is your Father, and if God is your Father, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're making yourself equal with God because He did. What that means is not equal in position, equal in family relationship. Just like you have children. All right, sorry I keep doing this, but it keeps running down. And my wife told me last night it was on my face. I don't know if any of y'all saw it, but sorry. All right, listen. When you're equal with God, being equal with God means that you have to be in family relationship. If you're a mother or father and have children, they are just as much equal members of your family. It doesn't matter their age or status in life. They're still in the family. That's what it's talking about. But the mother would rob you of that. Doesn't want you to know that because then you go around calling yourself a Christian. You're not a Christian. There's another video in the YouTube archives that the mother would have you think you're a Christian. No, the heathen call you Christians. God doesn't call you a Christian. The heathen do. Okay, and don't quote Peter because Peter said if you suffer as a Christian, not for being one, but as one. If the heathen grab you and say that's a Christian, don't be ashamed and all that. God doesn't call you Christians. You see, if you think yourself as a Christian, it robs you of your value as a family member in God's family. All right. That's a big trick of the mother right there. I'll tell you that right now. All right. Verse 39, same chapter. This is so great. Verse 39, search the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ talking to these Jews. For in them you think you have eternal life. Notice, you think you have eternal life, huh? And they are they which testify of me. That is, right there on a personal side note, completely off of the subject, I have to tell you, that verse right there is why I read my Bible so much. Okay? 4 hours plus daily. That's just my own personal reading because of that. In the scriptures, they testify of my beloved Savior. That's why I read them. It's all personal with me. It's very personal with me. That's why I read the Bible, because it's my Father, my Savior, God the Holy Spirit, my teacher. They all teach me this book so I can know all three of them perfectly, but that's why. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Look at verse 41. Look at verse 41. This right here is going to reveal unto you so many false preachers and teachers. Watch this in one short verse. Isn't God great? He can just say something real short, put in one verse, and say so much. I receive not honor from men. You get that? When the Lord Jesus Christ starts to live through your life, you too will not receive honor from men. In fact, the opposite's going to happen. You're going to receive persecution. You see, Jesus Christ, when He was here, received not honor from men. Those men that He's talking about are all unbelievers. But you see, people of this world, they want to get their degrees. They want to go to Bible school. They want to get all this stuff. And look, I'm not against Bible school if it's the scriptures alone, Bible school. You go to these stupid colleges and they have you learn all this dung that isn't worth anything to get you not even believe the Bible by the time you graduate. You see, they don't teach at all following the establishment commandment. Sick. All right, I receive not honor from men, but they want honor from men. People want to hang something on their wall. They want to be somebody. That's the pride of life. You see that? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ does not receive honor from men. And as He starts to live His life through you, the same thing will happen. So you can forget about the pride of life, thinking you'll ever be anybody in the eyes of the world. We are the offscouring of all things, the Apostle Paul says. Offscouring, that's at the bottom of the pot of the oatmeal. All that stuff that's in the bottom, you scrape out and throw in the trash. That's what it means. Because that's the same reception the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get when He lives through you. Verse 42, but I know you. The Lord Jesus Christ knows these unsaved religious leaders, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. See, people come in their own name, saying this, wow, I have this degree conferred upon me by this, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. You receive them, you see, but you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 44, how can you believe, look at this, which receive honor one of another? That's all the mother system does. All these people you see attacking us now, and it's becoming pretty obvious. It's so wonderful because it's confirming you're on the right path, and we're just getting started. This is just the shadows of the real persecution that's coming. And as you, because I've been down this path before, okay? This is the first time. Now, as you start to see these things happen, it will always be people who pat themselves on the back. You know, as the heretic Phelps says, oh, this pastor of this church in Chicago says, I have reviewed Martin Luther King's life. He is Dr. So-and-so. And then Eric Phelps says, oh, I regard you as a great man of God. They sit around patting each other on the back. They don't care what the scriptures say. None of them show a verse. Not one of them show one verse. Look at this. How can you believe which receive honor one of another? Verse 44 says, they receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. God gives honor. How? Study to show thyself approved unto God. The whole reason I read this Bible is to be approved unto my Father, not men. That's why people hate it. That's why they hate it. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Had you believed the Bible, you'd believe me. You see, they match. Verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, the Old Testament, how shall you believe my words? Yeah, it goes together. So you got to believe the entire book. You see, it's absolutely horrible how they are and how they treated our Savior. But hey, praise the Lord. John chapter 7, look at verse 14. John 7, 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Watch this. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? How knoweth this man letters having never learned? See, the mother wants you to go to university and get your degrees. He didn't have any of that. He didn't get any of his degrees. He's never been to the local seminary. And God, he never went to college. Yeah, how does he know this? Now, you might be thinking, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me comfort you. Go back to Psalm 119, and let's see if that can apply to you, too. It can apply to you. Watch this. Psalm 119. I love it that people hate this book. Psalm 119, look at verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies, that's the word of God, are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, all the reformers and all the guys of time past. Why? Because I keep thy precepts, because I do what that book says. Oh my gosh. You know what? I got to tell you on a side note, in dog training, when I used to train police dogs, one of my specialties was what's called a decoy, an agitator, where you agitate a dog to the point of frenzy where he bites you. And you train them to be police dogs. I love the experience I garnered there because I'm using it now as the words of the wise are as gold, except I aggravate people with that book. They hate it. Verse 45, John chapter 7. Look at verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. This is so, I mean, John is so different. Look at this. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? They sent him out to just snatch up the Lord Jesus Christ. The officers answered, look at this. Talk about truth spoken out of the mouth of a bunch of idiots. Look at this. Never man spake like this man. That's because the Lord Jesus Christ teaches with authority. Never man spake like this man. You mark it down. You read this book properly and teach this book properly, people will say that of you. Never man spake like this man. Can you believe it? One of these morons said, Bible school, ain't no Bible school. He teaches at his kitchen table. No kidding. Where do you think this was? Some wonderful hall and preaching hall? What are you, nuts? Of course, it said greet the church that is in their house. The real believers always met in the house. As Paul said, I've gone publicly and taught you from house to house. Yeah, I've had people in this house. We talk about the Bible. This is where I live. This is where Christ lives through me. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. The mother hates that. Her system hates when Christ Jesus speaks that book through your flesh. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Look at what the mother will throw up. They will throw, listen, none of the rulers or of the Pharisees have believed on him. No one's ever heard of the establishment commandment in all of our big theological seminaries and all the theological works that are in my library, the heretic said. I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But the people who know if not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Now look at this guy. Again, still, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot with the Lord. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth and know what he doeth? You know, Nicodemus, how about speaking for truth? You know why you couldn't? Because you didn't have it. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. All right, John chapter 8. Now, do we have time? Yes, John chapter 8. Now, this is a great passage here. John chapter 8. I don't even know if I have time to do it. You know? No, I don't. I don't have time to do it. Sorry. Because I got to teach John chapter 8 and chapter 9 together. So, oh well, today's a little short oracle. All right, so listen, we'll start, Lord willing, tomorrow. But I want to say some things in closing. Because I don't have time. Sorry, I teach John chapter 8 and chapter 9. We're almost done with John. And then we're going to go into the book of Acts, and you're going to see how the mother transitions out of the gospel of the kingdom of Peter right into the gospel today, the gospel of the grace of God, and what's going on today. And then it is an absolutely phenomenal transition, because you mark it down. When Satan found out about the mystery program that was kept secret since before the foundation of the world and revealed to Paul, as Satan was using Saul of Tarsus to kill all those believers, and then all of a sudden the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, Satan's main man on the stage of persecution at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ saves, all right? And then you're going to see Satan's hatred so much for this program, and he had to completely make a quick adjustment because Satan didn't know the mystery was coming. So he comes up with the mystery of iniquity to combat God's mystery program that was revealed through Paul. So, Lord.